Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Acts 19, I've entitled it, Rain, Revival, and the River, the Dynamics of Awakening. I'm excited to preach this to you. We're going to invent some more new words. Are you guys ready? All right. Acts 19, reading from the New International Version. Go down to verse 11. We'll look at the whole text. But verse 11, go to verse 11. Acts 19, 11. Thank you. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. How did he do it? Through Paul. So that even handkerchiefs and aprons that touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and evil spirits left them. Verse 13. Some of the Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, "In the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you, come out." Verse 14. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day, an evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. Everybody say, overpowered them all. I'm overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating. Wow. That they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. When this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Verse 18, many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done. So who came and openly confessed? Those who believed. So the believers came and did what? Openly, everybody say, the believers came. The believers came and openly confessed what they had done. A number who had practiced sorcery. Is anybody practicing sorcery? Just raise your hand if you're practicing sorcery here. Okay. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their evil scrolls together and burned them publicly. And when they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. In this way, verse 20, it'll be the last verse for now. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. Let's all read that together. Verse 20, nice and loud from your heart. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. Let's pray. Father, move in power in the name of Jesus. Amen. It is a powerful passage. You may be seated. Powerful passage of scripture. In Acts chapter 14, Paul comes to Iconium. Revival breaks out, and so does a riot. In Acts chapter 16, he comes to Philippi. He casts a devil out of a slave girl who had a spirit of divination or a python spirit. Revival breaks out, and so does a riot. Then in Thessalonica, in Acts 17, I've happened to have been to that city. It felt like the Lord spoke to me. Even now, I'm going back there at some point, looking forward to that. It's in Greece. Thessalonica, a large number of people are persuaded, Acts 17, 4 through 5, and started a riot. A large number of people gather and start a riot. And then in Ephesus, which is where we're reading about here, which is notable miracles take place, and so does a riot. Everywhere there's an outpouring, there's always opposition. There's always a riot. There's always people that aren't happy about it. There's always things that happen that are crazy. There's always fights and arguments. It is really a part of awakening. What do you mean awakening? really what happens, and I worked on this paragraph over and over, and I'm going to say it this way. There's an outpouring or rain that comes. There's outpouring, there's revival, and there's awakening. Well, which one is which? Because they're not synonymous, not in my mind. Let me say, do you believe in for revival? No, I'm really not. I'm really believing for an awakening. What is an awakening? I'm going to define it in a moment. Revival, outpouring, is an outpouring of the Spirit, where the Spirit is being poured out, perhaps tonight, in some measure. And when there's an outpouring, that can bring a revival, that can bring an awakening to revive. Some people are being vived. In other words, they were never vived. They never had life. So someone who had life and then loses it, they're revived. Somebody who gets the wind knocked out of them and then they're encouraged or helped to take some deep breaths and soon they're breathing again, they've been revived. Someone who has a heart attack and they're down on the ground and they get resuscitated, they come back, they've been revived. Well, some people never got life to begin with, so that would not be revival for them. It would be vival. It would be life that comes to them. But there's always an outpouring, and then when there's an outpouring, there's revival that comes to the church. The church is being revived across America. It was far before the death and the martyrdom, the martyr Charlie Kirk, far before his assassination, all kinds of strange conspiracy theories about that. I don't know. I do know he's in heaven. And I do know that his death sparked a bit of an outpouring, maybe revival. Maybe it's even pushed America closer to what I would call an awakening. Let me read this to you. When God pours out his Spirit, it's like rain falling from heaven on the earth. That's outpouring. Revival happens as the church drinks deeply and comes alive. An awakening breaks forth when the life of God overflows like a mighty river, reshaping the land and changing the culture. An awakening changes the culture. That's what we need in America. We need an awakening. We don't need just a wake-up call. We need an overhaul. We need an awakening. And there's numerous awakenings in history. And I do believe we're headed to one. I do believe we're headed to another awakening. The first great awakening is 1730 to 1740. Men like Jonathan Edwards, George Whitefield, John Wesley. The colonies and the nations were transformed by the power of God. England was transformed. The U.S. was radically impacted. The whole Northeast, the whole Eastern seaboard deeply impacted by an awakening. You go to the Northeast now, that place is as dead as a doornail, except for some pockets of fire, but I believe God's going to bring another one. The second great awakening, 1790 to 1830. Men like Charles Finney and others sparking social reforms and great revival. You study the life of Charles Finney, it's overwhelming how God used that man. He was studying to be a lawyer. And in the process, they used to study the word of God to be a lawyer. And in the process of studying the word of God, he became a believer. And he was a radical believer. He tried to join the church, but he said they were so dead. So he started his own prayer meetings. You go look at the life of Charles Finney. Amazing. Amazing. He invited them. The ministers of his day invited them. Please, Charles, come pray with us. He said, why would I pray with you? God doesn't even answer your prayers. You guys are like dead. That's what he said. I mean, it was a little nicer in an older English. Thou art dead. The third great awakening, although some call it a great awakening, others don't, but there was a real move of God in it. 1857, the early 1900s, of course, you had the Azusa Street Revival that took place, turn of the century, Pentecost. Azusa Street, how many of you heard of Azusa Street? And millions of people have been impacted. In fact, this church has really been impacted by Azusa Street all the way in 1900s. And 1920s, Juanita Creighton, thank you, whoever said that. Juanita Creighton came, she was dying. God called her to go to Maui to start a church in the 1920s. She got some horrible disease and she's dying in the lower 48, dying in some hospital. And she cried out to God and God said, I'll heal you if you obey me and go back to Maui. She said yes, and she obeyed. She went back to Maui and she started the Full Gospel Church of Paia. And God poured out his spirit. That became First Assembly of God Maui. First Assembly of God Maui became King's Cathedral and Chapels, planting this church. We just had our 19th anniversary as the pastors here, but been a church since 1999 officially, and before that, 1997. We just celebrated a time of anniversary for us. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. And this church has been greatly affected by revival. It could be that God is going to cause us to become a mighty river. It could be that God will use us in such a way to bring an awakening. And I believe that America, I believe the nations are moving towards awakening. And you study the end, you study eschatology, which is a study of the end time things. You study, there's this great ingathering of the Gentiles. I've preached on it before. It's called the fullness of the Gentiles. It's when there's this massive ingathering of people to the kingdom. Then there has to be that, and then a great falling away takes place. But you can't have a great falling away till you have the fullness of the Gentiles, a great ingathering. And it indicates a time frame. Then in our study of eschatology, there's a rapture that takes place. And then 144,000 Jewish evangelists, they're going to get born again and they're going to preach the gospel all over the world. This is the end times we're in. And I believe we're headed for an awakening. I believe that with all my heart. D.L. Moody also during the 1800s. Jeremiah Lanfrier in New York City. It was a prayer revival, the noontime prayer meeting in New York. Minister Heidi, who heads up the representative of the National Day of Prayer for Alaska in our nation. Thank you for doing that. Isn't that awesome? There's a prayer always precedes these great outpourings. Late 1800s, D.L. Moody, evangelistic campaigns, Welsh revival in 1904, 1905. Let me read this to you again. When God pours out his spirit, it's like rain falling from heaven to the earth. Revival happens as a church drinks deeply and comes alive. An awakening breaks forth when the life of God overflows like a mighty river, shaping the land and changing the culture. I believe that we're moving into awakening. Never before in the history of the world has there been the kind of historic peace agreement that was just signed. And if you missed it, it's because you might not be breathing, or maybe you're consumed with the things of the world, the flesh. I watched that agreement. Think what you like about Donald Trump, but God has somehow used him to bring a unity and a peace. And yes, it has to be walked across the line, but some of you that are older than me, can I get an amen? And I lifted my hands and I was weeping at the incredible unity of the nations that are coming together. I do not understand it. I just know that God's on the throne and the name of Jesus is preached boldly, boldly. I mean, you went to the memorial. Anybody watch the 6-hour memorial or whatever it was? Anybody see that from Charlie Kirk? I mean, my God, we had people preaching the gospel. Marco Rubio lit it on fire. I mean, he's a politician. He preached Jesus Christ crucified. Believe on him that he died on a cross, rose again from the grave. It's the only way to make it to heaven. He preached the gospel. When has that ever happened? Please, mom, you're 87. Has that ever happened? No way. It's never. She said it. She's 87. She's older than most of you. Come on, say amen. That's unusual. And you could be asleep and miss the whole thing while you're texting your auntie right now. God God wants to bring an awakening, and I firmly believe that there's a mighty wave heading to Alaska. I have pledged my life, my sacred honor, and everything that I have to see God fulfill his plan in the great Northland and beyond. That is why I'm here. I love hunting. I love eating moose. Killed a cow the other day. It's getting butchered. Very grateful for all giant vegetables and all of that. Thank God for the snow that's coming down the mountains. Glory to God for the salmon that I reeled in my freezer that's full. It is not about that. It's about what God's called us to do in the great Northland. God doesn't do anything small in this state. Do you think he's not going to do something big in the kingdom? Oh, he is. He's poured. Lift your hands to heaven. He's pouring out his spirit. He's raising up sons and daughters. He's healing people, setting captives free. And if you've come in this place, believe his word. He's come to deliver you and make you a deliverer. Man, I just got encouraged. Let's look at this text here a little bit. The dynamics of an outpouring. And you could call it the dynamics of revival. You could call it the dynamics of the beginning of awakening. Just people are on edge right now. I have a great story from the sauna, but I'm going to tell it just a little bit. Dynamics here. So Paul, he obeys God and he obeys the Lord and brings about this starting of a church and God's timing. It's God's timing. I've learned to love the timing of the Lord, but it's taken me a few years. He's an on-time God. Everybody say he's on time. Yeah, yes, he is. He's not in a hurry. The devil drives, God leads, he's on time. He's never late. It might seem late to you, but it isn't. He's always on time. And his timing is remarkable to me, how you can be at the right place at the right time, how he'll take a Daniel who stood against all the political opposition and all those who wanted to kill him in the lion's den. He was faithful to pray and faithful to declare God's kingdom, and he didn't defile himself, and on and on and on, and he lived on into his 80s and was powerfully used in Babylon to pray forth the conclusion of the prophetic word from Jeremiah that God's people would be in captivity for 70 years. He studied the scroll of Jeremiah and said, "Ooh, we're close." And so he said, "We're right there." So he started praying and contending for the prophetic word from 70 years earlier. And what happened? Many, many tequila praising on that night. They pushed the Lord just a little bit too far. They brought out the gold vessels from the temple that they had taken. And they began to drink out of them. And it's like, you can go too far. And all the prayer and this invisible hand, the handwriting on the wall. You ever heard that? Well, the handwriting's on the wall. Well, that's where this comes from. A hand appears, just a hand, not an arm, just a hand. And it writes, many, many tequila praise him. And that means you've been weighed in the balance and found lacking. This night, the kingdom's going to be taken from your hand. At the exact time, as they're terrified, it says that the king, his knees were knocking and hitting each other. His knees were having fellowship one with another. And that very night, Cyrus comes in. Historians say that the whole kingdom was so freaked out by the sign and wonder of a hand appearing. The whole kingdom was so freaked out that they didn't close the gates, that the gates were left to open, and literally fulfilling Isaiah about how they would cross over on dry ground. Cyrus, I think it's 90 years before he ever came. It is said by some that people showed Cyrus the scroll of Isaiah, and from Isaiah he got his battle plan to take Babylon, a city that was impossible to take in the natural, except an invisible hand showed up and everybody had soiled themselves and they left the gates open. And they came in, there was hardly any war at all. and they defeated Babylon, ending the 70 years of captivity for Israel. And the Cyrus decree goes forward, sending Israel back, sending God's people back to the homeland of Israel. It is a supernatural thing. I am telling you, we are at a time now when hands are appearing on walls in writing where supernatural things are taking place, and God is bringing about his plan for Israel, and God is bringing about his plan for America. God is bringing about his plan for Alaska. God's bringing about his plan for my life, and he's going to bring about his plan for your life if you'll just put him first. Come on, you need to let go of some things and just move on in and be led by the Lord. Paul was obeyed God. He wanted to go to Ephesus first, but the Lord says, no, you're not going to Asia. That's near Asia. It's Turkey. They called it Asia. Asia, you think now China. That's not what they're calling Asia. It's Turkey area. And so he wants to go to Ephesus and have this incredible city of Ephesus. He wants to go there, and the Holy Spirit says, no. I've wanted to go to Anchorage. I'm no Paul, but we have been resisted by the Spirit. I don't even think it's a devil. I think it's the Holy Spirit saying, wait, wait, wait. You know how I've gotten myself in trouble over the years? No, how? I'll tell you. I don't do wait so good. I do charge hell with water pistol, run through it, smash it, destroy it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Now, as I've gotten older, like I said, I'm beginning to grow up. Is there anybody beginning to grow up? I wanted to smash through some stuff this week. The Lord's like, son. I'm like, pull back. All the pregnant women said, you can feel full term with something from God, but until you brings you to the place of deliverance, you're not going to deliver that thing unless you want to make another Ishmael. I'm not into Ishmael. I've done that. Don't do it. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, don't do it. So glad you don't have any notes. Come on, give me some skin. We're flowing in the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. Come on, say don't do it.
Don't do it.
Come on, say louder. Say like a man.
Don't do it.
Oh, don't do it. The loving. We're talking about outpouring, revival, awakening, the dynamics of it. Paul wants to go. The Holy Spirit says no, but he eventually gets to go. I love that. God put it in his heart. He causes us to will and act according to his good pleasure. He puts things in your heart, but you got to be led by the Spirit. So that's number one. You got to write something down, write this down. You got to obey God and his leading. Because the right thing at the wrong time is the wrong. Absolutely. Oh, please, please hear this, pastor. Tell you, the right thing at the wrong time is absolutely, positively the wrong thing. And you can get the cart before the horse, as my mama used to say. That don't sound right. You've got to let the Lord lead you. And Paul was eventually led there. So that's number one, obedience. The second thing you see here, God's orchestrating it. And he does that throughout the book of Acts. God's orchestrating it. Paul empowered people to help in the work. He trained people. It sounds a little bit arrogant. It's not. It's just, it's how I think. And I don't think it's arrogance. It's 25 years of pastoring. And I feel like God showed me some stuff. And I've tried to help some of my pastor friends and other networks and other places. And I've been helped by dozens of others that have gone before us that are older and done more. And you know, you have to be teachable. I'm so grateful for those who are pouring into my life even now. I had a powerful conversation with Dr. Morocco today. We asked him to do a video about Israel and where the world's at. He says, I'll pray about that. I've seen churches of, you know, 50 people. It's okay if you want to stay at 50. I think that's okay, but you still need to be reaching the lost. All depends on the vision you have, but you don't have to stay 50. You could go to 100. You could go to 200. And, you know, it can be challenging. Man, my day today was intense. Not everybody wants to reach thousands. You know why? Because it demands something of you. And if you're going to change your life, you're going to change the world, it demands something of you. You've got to change. You've got to die to yourself. I mean, the Apostle Paul, my gosh, he's shipwrecked twice. We only know about one of them. But how many times 40 lashes minus one? Was it three times, four times? I need to go look. I mean, my gosh, most of us are sissies compared to the Apostle Paul, yet he kept going and kept going and kept going. How do you stop a man with a vision like that? You can't. And God wants to give you vision. God wants to quicken you even now. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. He wants to quicken you. Don't be a lackadaisical, half-hearted, limp-wristed, apathetic, lethargic Christian. It's ridiculous, and it's got nothing there for you. It'll never satisfy you. What God wants to show you is far more than on a video screen. I told a friend of mine, I said, I can teach you to call your church a double, no problem. He said, how are you going to do that? I said, easy. Just listen to what I'm telling you. Let me tell you. Here's how you do it. You know how you do it? Disciple people, preach the gospel, lift up Jesus, and release people into their callings. Release people into what their God-given talents and giftings are. When you do that, you'll begin to reach more and more people. But so oftentimes, pastors want people addicted to them. Okay, I will. So oftentimes, pastors and people want people addicted to them. They want to get the accolades. They want the pat on the back. I am the friend of the bridegroom. I've told you this before. You're supposed to worship him. I'm thankful for the encouragement. I'm going to do the best I can, but I'll make up new words like, what was it? To leave. What kind of spirit? I'll mess up a scripture here or there. I point the way to the Messiah. I point the way to the cross. I encourage you. I'm like a coach for revival. Come on, get your guard up. You can do it. Come on, take a deep breath. Take some water right now. Get back in the game. Let's go. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Ah, come on. That's what I'm called to do, to fire you up and get you full of the Spirit. We're here to bring an awakening. We're here to bring an awakening. We're here to bring an awakening. And it starts in you. It starts in your family. Don't turn me down. We're here to bring an awakening. It is God's will to change the culture through you. He empowered people to do the work. He emphasized, look at verse 5. Now, we didn't read this. It's a little earlier on. We started in verse 11. I'm in verse 5. He shows up and there's these believers, so he thinks. And he asks them, this is verse 1 through 4. He asks them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you first believed? They're like, what? We received John the Baptist's baptism. We never even heard there was a Holy Spirit. And in verse 5, on hearing this, he said, oh yeah, no, Jesus Christ crucified. John pointed to Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 6, when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. It's interesting that there's about 12 men in all. Wow. There's an importance. He placed an importance on the power of the Holy Spirit. He placed an importance on being filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't believe there can be an awakening without the baptism of the fire of the Holy Ghost. He said, well, what about Finney? Yeah, what about Finney? What about Jonathan Edwards? What about him? They didn't use the language that we use. But there was a different vernacular, but God was pouring out his Spirit. Go read the historical account of Jonathan Edwards' meetings. It'd make us preachers today look like a bunch of, I don't know what. When they preached, they really said something, deep theological treatise. And the conviction that would come on people was so profound, was so heavy, that the rooms would shake. Go read Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Oh, I'm all about the love of God. That's wonderful. I'm about the love of God too. And there's hell. Thank you. You go read that preaching and you look at the accounts. I was shaking uncontrollably on the ground and it did not stop for hours. He talks about how he thought he was born again till he ran into some Moravians on the boat coming over from England. And he ran into these Moravians and he said they had something I did not have. How they're up at 3 a.m. reading 2 hours of scripture, not on TikTok. Reading 2 hours of scripture, soaking in the word. Then they would pray for an hour. Well, that's a long time. They were hungry. We've been seduced by sex. We've been seduced by rock and roll. We've been seduced by the things of the world. And it's dumbed down the church to miss an awakening. We can have an awakening, but you have to push yourself away from some things. He said, he talks about how he came into this field. I have all his journals. I read them from time to time. I came into this field, and I'm paraphrasing, I was overwhelmed by the birds. I was overwhelmed by the flowers. I was overwhelmed by all of creation all around me and the mighty God that made it all. And I began to weep, and I fell on my face. And I cried uncontrollably at his goodness and his kindness towards me. As I stayed there for hours, engulfed in this joy that's unspeakable. Have you had a quiet time like that lately? Lift your hands to heaven. I'm talking about the real thing. I hate religion. I hate it. What comes forth from me is about half or 25% of what I feel in my heart. I despise it. And we've been criticized for it, but the transformation doesn't come by just attending church. Transformation doesn't come by a casual glance at the scriptures and getting a cute little mug that has Psalm 91 on it. I'm under his shadow. You don't even understand what under the shadow of his wings means? You understand what that means? Does anybody understand what that means? It's David, King David, writing that he longed to be in the presence of the Lord. One thing I will seek after. He wrote Psalm 91 under the shadow of his wings. If the pulpit here was the ark, and it's casting a shadow right here, the idea, and it's a shadow on the ground. I don't know if you can see it, but the idea, he's so close to the ark that he's under the shadow of the cherubim's wings. That's how close he is. I've got protection right here. That's absolutely right. Theologically, you get close to God, you get covered in the blood, you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you, and you will absolutely be under a supernatural protection. He will lead you, he will guide you, he will direct you. Come on, somebody say amen. It's Psalm 91's on more refrigerators and coffee mugs, for God's sake. People don't even know it's about. Come on, protect, because he's laid his affection on me, said David. Am I yelling? I feel strongly about it. Emphasize the Holy Spirit. Dynamics. Dynamics. I don't even know if I'm going to get through this whole thing. The dynamics of the rain. Dynamics of revival. Dynamics of awakening. It is God's will to bring his power. So much so that the mugshot closes. So much so that places of ill repute close. And I don't wish death on anybody. Naturally, we're not of that spirit. But God is pouring out his spirit now, and it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. There's opposition. Look at verse Look at verse 9. So here he is. He's doing these miracles. Verse 11, extraordinary miracles. Verse 12, handkerchiefs and aprons. It's a picture of the anointing. The power of God is transferable. Everybody say the power of God is transferable. It's transferable. It's like electricity, if you will. It can be transferred. So it's transferable through these aprons and handkerchiefs and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. What? Oh, yeah, you know, years ago, I'm back on another story and you have no notes. I'm really glad you don't. We decided, you know what, if you want to bring bread in, we're going to, I felt like God told me, have everybody bring a loaf of bread. Listen, you can't make this stuff up. Everybody brought a loaf of bread. We brought them to the front. We anointed all these loaves of bread with oil, just a little bit of oil. You remember, right? And with this precious lady who worked at a youth home, and she had, did she have two or three loaves of bread? And we anointed all of them. She went back to the youth home on Monday. She made a peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for every one of those troubled youth. And we're talking seriously troubled youth. They could no longer be with their parents. They were wild. And they're in this youth home, and many of them on drugs and sedated. She made all these peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, praying in tongues while she made it, and passed the bread out to every single one. Do you know what happened? That whole youth group ended coming to our church youth group. The whole youth home came to our church. And they got powerfully touched by God. Born again, saved, and then got healed, weeping, crying. You remember that, right? And that continued. They continued to come, and then all of a sudden they stopped coming, and we heard a horrible report. This is totally how revival gets stopped. Precious lady that came to the church said, Pastor, they can't come anymore. She's weeping. She said, can't come anymore. I said, well, what happened? She said, well, they were coming and are reading their Bibles and they're all getting touched by God. And this other worker who doesn't like me goes to another church, and she wanted all the students to go to her church. Well, her church is dead. And there was an argument because they were coming to our church and I wanted to keep bringing them, and now they can't go to any church. You know, about, I don't have to ask Pastor Karen, but I want to say 10 years ago, one of those students came back. Grown woman. And had obviously been through hell. And thanked us as she wept. It's just before we moved into this building. Thanked us as she wept. I remember when we came here. I gave my life to Jesus. I need help. And we prayed for her. And honestly, we never saw her again. There's always going to be opposition. Verse 9, so this release of God's power, transferable, ministering in the laying on of hands. Verse 9, look at this. But some of them became obstinate, refused to believe, and publicly maligned the way. That's like Steppenwolf 555 on YouTube, who criticizes everything we do. I don't know if you, Lord, would you help him in a very special way? I wanted to pray hemorrhoids down on him or something, but I'm not going to do that. Lord, save him. Had somebody else just rip us, came in, it was loud, the music was too loud, it was lights, some haze, it was dark. We left immediately. We know what kind of church that is. Church of Satan. Okay. Well, they go home and do whatever they do. There's always opposition. You know, you have to have a hard heart and when you're doing the things of the Lord. I'm not even talking about being a pastor. I'm talking about being a Christian. You have to have a don't give a flip gear. I was in the sauna. I'm telling my whole testimony. Can I have some testimony keys, please? Thank you so much. I was telling my testimony and I was halfway through. There's two guys listening to me. And God's power is there. I mean, like in a very real way, tangible, like every bit as strong as God's presence is here right now in the sauna. All these dudes wearing towels in the sauna. Another guy walks in and I keep telling my story. 30 seconds goes by and the guy that walks in, the third guy, so now there's four people, me, two guys on either side of me and another guy that sits behind me. He sits there for 30 seconds. He says, you know, for the love of God, I feel like I'm in Sunday school. Can you stop? Charlie Kirk had just been assassinated. I don't feel like stopping. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So I turn around, full of the Holy Ghost. I turn around, and before I can say anything, the guy I'm witnessing to comes off the chain like a rabid pit bull with a string of curses coming out of his mouth. How about you shut up? You just came in here. He's telling his life story, and he's almost at the end. How about you shut up? How about that? And if you don't like that, let's talk about it. And the guy said, oh, you threatening me? He says, oh, yeah, I am. He says, what's your name? He says, none of your dude business. I'm like, and at that time, four guys in towels. That's a little dangerous. A little awkward, a little dangerous. So I stood up, making sure I held firmly to my towel. I said, now, guys, easy. Settle down. He says, you need to finish your story. I said, I'll finish my story. You need to shut up, dude. I said, yeah, just relax. Came very close to a fight. And at that point, honestly, I said, you know something? I finally got a word in edgewise. I said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it's the power of God unto salvation. And you might not understand what that means, but I'm not intimidated by somebody telling me to stop. I'm not the kind that stops. However, I'm so hot right now. That's true. I ran out. Anybody ever been in like 230? That's you cook meat at 230. I was at your cabin. It was 300 or something. I can't do 300. You got to be like Ukrainian or native, and then you can do it. I'm believing for an impartation. Maybe you could lay hands on me and I could do 300 degrees. I know why they wear hats, because your brains get cooked. Anybody ever seen that? I couldn't stand. I said, so I'm not intimidated at all. I said, I just got to get out because I'm too hot. But anyway, God bless you guys. I got out. Both guys followed me, went outside, and they both stood there. Okay, finish your story. The point is, who cares? If people don't like you, they don't want you to keep talking, they're offended at you, who cares? You know what's really offensive? Hell. Hell is really offensive. There's opposition for Paul, and I found anytime I'm moving in the dynamic of God's power, there's always people that manifest and don't like it. Laying hands on a lady in a church recently, 8:33, there's nothing on Netflix. Laying hands on a church. I was at a church. I was laying hands on the church. Some churches need hands laid on them. I was laying hands on this lady who's in a wheelchair. And she starts getting touched and healed. Then she starts manifesting. Like, what do you mean manifesting? What does that mean? She starts making growling, angry, snapping noises with her head kind of going around, kind of like, some of those horrible movies that I saw before I was saved. So I'm going to break the devil off of this lady. And somebody just bumps me, pushes me out of the way. It's like about a 30-year-old woman, grabs this lady, this elderly lady that's in a wheelchair. Says, in the name of Jesus. So I grabbed the lady that bumped me. I said, excuse me. She looks at me. I said, I don't need any help. She said, it's my mother. I said, well, go ahead then. God is my witness. She broke the devil off of her mother, and all the pain left that lady. She got healed. She got touched by God. There's always going to be opposition. Don't consider it strange. You're going to have people that don't like you. You're going to have people that make fun of you. You're going to have people, oh, they don't like me. Who cares? Everywhere Paul goes, there's opposition. There's a flow of miracles. I'm going to hurry up. Acts 19, extraordinary miracles, verse 11. Mark 16, 20, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through accompanying signs. God's touching people all across this place. I think I'm going to finish this later. I've got like 17 more points. Lift your hands to Jesus. We need an awakening. We need an awakening. And God's going to confirm what I already preached through signs following right now. He's touching people. He's beginning to heal people. His presence is falling right now all across the house, online, right now. Can you sing that old song? I can hear the sound of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Go for it.
Give me a melody.
Yeah, just do it yourself.
Trying to remember it.
Try.
I don't remember. Can't.
What song is that?
Hear the sound of angels' wings.
It's an old one. Do you know that one? What is it?
The angels.
The presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace.
Oh, here it is.
I can see the touch of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
You know it now? Come on, sing it.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Feel His mighty power and His
See if you can find the words, you anointed people in the back.
The sound of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Sing your own song to Jesus. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Presence of the Lord. Woo. Yes, God, thank you. Flood this place now. God's healing people all across this place. He's touching people's backs right now. If you have a back condition, just lay hands on your back right now. This is God confirming His word. By His stripes, you're healed. Upper back, middle back, lower back. Be healed. Release miracles now. Creative miracles. Oh, come on, sing it again. Sing it again. Surely,
surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
If that's you, you need healing in your back. Step out from where you are and come to the front.
Mighty power.
Come to the front.
His grace.
The Lord's been touching people in your emotions.
I can feel the touch.
You need healing in your heart, in your emotions. Come to the front over on this side.
On each
can I have all the back people over here?
Surely
all the back people
the
this way. Thank you. Lift your hands. And as you do, God's power is coming on you. Surely.
Yes.
Come on.
Oh, surely
healing in your emotions. Healing in your heart. Where's that person you're grieving and it just doesn't seem to lift? It's so difficult. Where's Karen?
And
I'll pray for you
grace.
If you're here. Come, Karen. Come.
I can feel the touch of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Woo! Sing it. Come on, sing it again.
Oh, surely the presence of the Lord is
you sound beautiful,
in this
team.
Place.
Come on, sing it. Congregation,
I
sing.
I can feel His mighty
Luke
power
in chapter 5, and the presence of the Lord was there to heal. He's Wonderful. Now keep moving it around and thank God. Some of you are 100% healed. Some of you got partial. Receive the whole thing.
The Lord is in this place.
Power.
I can feel His mighty power and His grace.
Right now, in the name of Jesus, be made whole. Oh, my goodness. Power. Power God's here. Power. Be healed. Be healed.
Surely the presence of the Lord.
I have a word for you.
Is in this place.
I'll come back. Be healed.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
I exalt
the presence of the Lord is in this place.
I exalt Thee right now.
I exalt Thee.
I exalt Thee. Receive, receive.
I exalt Thee.
Receive right now. Receive your healing. Receive your encouragement. In the name of Jesus, I exalt Thee.
I exalt Thee. I exalt thee, oh Lord.
Let me hear some sustains and just bring up the volume just a little bit. That's it. The old is gone. New wineskin is being crafted and made. I'm pouring a new wine into new wineskins. And I'm looking for a people. Where will my glory rest? Where will my resting place be? God, thank you. Throw Holy Ghost kerosene all over America, God. All over the nations. Release a holy boldness to your people like you did on Paul, like you did on so many throughout history. Raise up and release a new breed of Jonathan Edwards and George Whitfields. Raise up a people who can rightly divide the word but are full of boldness, full of fire, that won't back off because of some sissified opposition or even opposition that's real. You've given us your name. You've given us your word. You've given us the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. May all that you've done, may it not be in vain for us. May we not receive the grace of God in vain. I prophesy King School of Ministry to go up and over 100 even next year and then into 1,000 people in the years to come. Prophesy again a doubling to this church. Well done building it, but it's too small. For the harvest is great. And leaders are being elevated and released that can stretch forth their hands and release rivers of living water. Let a boldness come upon you, says the Lord. Let a boldness come upon you. Be gripped with a holy anguish. May you weep over your neighbors. May you weep over the lost. May you weep over your own sin. Allow me to come and clean house. Separate yourself from that which is not holy. Purge your books, purge your computer, purge the vile thing. Be set apart. Be an instrument of outpouring, revival, and awakening. Says the Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're not right with Jesus, do not leave this place in that condition. Those online, all over the world, potentially in Kotzebue, wherever you are, want to give your heart to Christ for the first time, or if you need to recommit. You drifted in your commitment. You got some sorcery scrolls and you know it. Or believers that burned their sorcery scrolls. You have things in your life you know you need to get rid of. Recommit your life to the Lord. Maybe you need to burn some stuff at home. Just be careful. It's windy outside. Wait till the wind dies down. Put it in a bag. All jokes aside, put it in a bag. Put it outside your house. And as soon as you can burn it, burn it. He said, well, I can't burn it in my house. Bring it here. We burn it here. I got a burn barrel. We'll set that thing on fire right here. People come and burn their stuff all the time. Burn your bong. Hey, brother weed smoker, burn your bong. Get rid of it. And that people aren't amening too loud. They might think it's you. Amen. Get rid of your pills. Get set free. Get rid of your anger and your control problems. That's like witchcraft. trying to control people with all your rage. Get rid of it. All right, give your heart to Jesus first time. Number two, make a recommitment to him. All across this place, those online, you say, that's me. Would you lift your hand to heaven? Amen. God bless you. God bless you, son. God bless you. 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 Hands going up. God bless you. God bless you. All right. If you're serious about it, meet me right here. We're going to pray. Come right here. Come meet me right here. If you raise your hand or you didn't, come right here. Come, 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 come. What's up?
Like a shirt.
Come on, come. There's room. Come on, no golf claps. Give a real clap, real solid clap. Come on. People getting born again. People getting saved. Can you guys scooch on in here? Come on over. Come on, come on, come on. Meet me right here, son. You have a gift of humility. There's a humility gift, a gift of compassion. There's humility on you, pardon me, a gift of compassion. You feel what other people feel. You have been through so much, but because of what you've been through, you feel very deeply. And you had some things yanked away from you when you were a small boy. And your heart's been ripped out many times. I see specifically 11, 12, 13. It's really a difficult years for you. And you find yourself here. The Lord says, I'm taking your life as you yield to me. I will elevate you. And I will raise you up, and I will restore everything that the enemy has taken from you and from your family. You're a lead in your family. You're a leader in your family. You know, might not be the oldest, but I'm going to raise you up. I'm going to make you a leader in your family. Not many days from now, you're going to be endued with power. You will shine like a star in the universe. Holy Spirit, lift your hands, son. All the years, pain and sorrow, go loose.
It's all right, you're all right, you're all right.
Pray this prayer with me out loud all across this place. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus. I believe he died on a cross for my sin. I believe he rose again from the grave for me. Tonight, I give you my life. I surrender my life. And I ask you to forgive me of all of my sin. To be my Lord, to be my Savior. Wash me, cleanse me, and make me new. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for loving me. Hands raised all across the place in the Philippines, wherever you are. Holy Spirit, come now and fill these. Break every chain, break every bondage. Use them. Not only these up front, but this great congregation and all those online, those that listen later. Use us to bring awakening. Let the power of the Spirit be manifested through each and every person this week as they boldly reach out their hands. Set us ablaze. Help us to release others. Help us to study the Word. And put an emphasis on the things of the Spirit. Do notable miracles. God, we thank you.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's Word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.